So I heard a sermon. This was a while going back a little while ago by Mr. Arnold Hampton that I really liked and decided to use it as the basis for my sermon today. I actually gave this message up in Loveland a little while ago, and we'll repeat it here today. And he began the sermon with a story. And so I looked it up and typed it out in my notes as well. I'm going to basically review that same story that he started with. It's a story of faith. The story is of one incident that occurred in the life of a Lutheran minister back in the 19th century. His name was George Mueller. He rose to worldwide fame because of his extensive work as a missionary who was known for charitable works. He also built orphanages and did many other philanthropic works during his lifetime. At this particular point where the story begins, he is on a ship that was sailing to Canada, or it was set to sail to Canada. And this is the written account according to the captain of the ship. The captain writes, "We had a man of God on board, George Mueller of Bristol. I had been on the bridge for 22 hours and never left. They were scheduled to leave, sail across the Atlantic to Canada, but they were hemmed in by a very heavy, dense fog. So he was not going to leave until this thing had cleared up. He had been on the bridge for 22 hours, waiting for the fog to lift. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was George Mueller. 'Captain,' he said, 'I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon.'" And this was Wednesday, barely enough time to make it there. "'It is impossible,' the captain said. Well, he said, "'Very well, if your ship can't take me, God will find some other means of locomotion to get me there. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. The captain said, "'I would willingly help you, but how can I? I'm helpless.' Mr. Mueller said, "'Let us go down to the chart room and pray.'" The captain writes, "'I looked at this man, and I thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could the man have come from? I never heard of such a thing. Mr. Mueller,' I said, 'do you know how dense this fog is?' 'No,' he replied, 'my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life.' He went down on his knees and he prayed one of the most simple of prayers. Very straightforward, something that you could almost expect to hear from a young child. When he had finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to. He said, "You do not believe God will do it. And second, I believe he has done it. And there is no need whatever for you to pray about it." I looked at him, and George Mueller said, "'Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I failed to gain an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door. You will find the fog is gone.' I got up, and indeed the fog was gone. And on Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec." Now, I don't want to talk about or debate the religion of George Mueller. But the example, as we would look at it, as the world would look at it, would be an example of dramatic faith. Many times we think of faith, and when we do, we think of it in the context of something dramatic happening. Miracles, healing are examples of things we witness or experience firsthand and attribute it to faith. We have heard stories of miraculous answers to faith or divine intervention where help was needed in some situation or protection was given. We've all experienced this. One of the things that is said or thought of in such situations is, wow, what great faith. We often link them together. Miracles will usually be tied together with someone having great faith. But is that what faith is all about? Is it only regarding things that are miraculous? Faith is an important subject, a large subject as well. There's much that could be said on it. But certainly one of the more important subjects that one could study and want to understand. Jesus Christ said it was one of the weightier matters of the law, along with justice and mercy. The Apostle Paul said we are to abide in these three things, faith, hope, and love. In another instance, he wrote under the inspiration of God that it is by grace, by the grace of God, that we are saved, and added, it is through faith. Not that anyone would ever question the importance of faith, but I thought it would be helpful to the subject to add those thoughts as we begin. Even professing Christians in the world will agree that faith is one of the more important elements in a Christian's life. Yet oftentimes we only think of it and think of it being exercised in a time of crisis when a miracle is needed. And I'm not saying that is not the case, that this isn't faith, or that faith isn't needed under times of stress or when help is needed. Indeed, it is. People are not wrong to attribute faith as an important element when prayers are answered, people are healed, divine protection is granted. This is true. What I'm saying is that this is not the only time where faith comes into play in our lives. Faith for us is a part of life, a way of life, and is who we are to be every day. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. He's quoting Habakkuk here, Hebrews 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. We don't just think about it. We don't try to feel faith or work it up when we feel it's needed. We live by it. And that's what we'll focus on today. Faith is a way of life. Faith is a way of life. Again, there are various aspects of the subject of faith that we can talk about, but this is what I want to focus on today. It is a way of life for us, day in and day out, and throughout the day. It's not just about miracles or answered prayer. Faith is needed to live life as a Christian if we are to grow and overcome and be in the kingdom of God. When that is the goal, when that is our desire, when we realize that is what we are called to, we realize also faith is a necessary ingredient. There are things to consider and think about concerning faith. On one hand, we can have faith on an intellectual level. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. On an intellectual level, one could say, I know, therefore I believe. For instance, I know there is a creation. I don't believe this world and the universe and the life that exists in it all happened by itself, by chance. Therefore, I believe there is a creator. I know there are laws in effect in this creation. Therefore, I believe there is a lawgiver. It's intellectual. It's even, you could even think of it as logic in some ways, more than faith, actually. But there is a second part to this, another type of faith. It is an active living faith, where one would say, I believe, therefore I do. I believe that the law is good, therefore I strive to keep it. And it goes without saying that we must have both. I can't just have knowledge of the Bible. I must realize the need for it to have an impact on my life. I must do something with what I know, with what I believe, because faith is a way of life. We will see this in the next chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. It is called the faith chapter, and we're going to go through it today. And as we go through it, I want you to note the number of miracles or miraculous events. Again, this is what people mostly associate with and think of when they think in terms of faith. But we're going to go through this chapter, and I think you'll be surprised when we think about how few actual miracles it speaks of. There really aren't that many, and these are written as examples of men and women of faith. And we are to live as they did. Let's go to verse 1, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are the things hoped for? There are things in life that we hope for, of course, but this chapter is about the promises of God. And the main thing we all hope for in that respect is the kingdom of God. There are other promises mentioned in this chapter, but primarily the focus is working towards the kingdom of God. In fact, when you think about it, God has made hundreds of promises, and those promises cover just about every aspect of life. But you know, I did give a sermonette on this a while back, just on this one verse. I'll just rehearse just a couple of one thing in particular about this verse. The word substance is from the Greek word hypostasis or hypostasis. It means a substructure or foundation, that which has a foundation and is firm. That comes from Thayer's Bible Dictionary. There is a foundation that our beliefs can rest on or be supported by, of the promises of God being fulfilled. That is the foundation upon which we walk as we go through life. And one of the reasons that foundation is so secure is the statement we have in another place that says God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And if he has given us promises that cover every aspect of life and he cannot lie, then wherever I walk, whatever I do, as long as I am in line with that, I walk by faith. It's not just about miracles. You know, I remember people would talk, and this is going back a ways, people talking about faith as something that was lacking in the church, at least the way they perceived it. That if we had more faith, we would have more healings. Or if we had more faith, we would see some more miraculous things happen like they did in the first century in the book of Acts. If we had more faith, or people would talk about members of the church in other areas of the world where life is hard or dangerous, or they were isolated. And they would commend them and say, oh, if only we had the faith they do. You know, we don't hear statements or talk like that so much anymore. And that's good, because I think there was a lack of understanding in statements like that. I believe that we have matured and come to a better understanding of how God works, how no two individuals or circumstances are handled in the same way by God. And so let's go through these examples of faith. And as we go through this, again, make note of how many miraculous things are mentioned. Let's start in verse 4, Hebrews 11 and verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." It says, by faith he offered an offering. Would you consider that a miraculous event? Yet it was a faithful act. He offered to God. We today offer. We give offerings in the way of service towards others and to one another. We offer prayers on behalf of others. And on the holy days, we give what we call an offering. Is that by faith? In doing that, are we living by faith? Well, according to what this is saying, yes. You know, it takes faith to tithe. You know, if one has an abundance to the point that there is never a time when that they're concerned about money, then this wouldn't apply. But for the majority of those in the church, at some point in life, there is a time or has been a time when money is tight and tithing comes into question. You think about the bills due and you have to make a choice. Not everyone has been there, but some have. I have on a number of occasions over the years. Do we act on faith? Trust in the promises of God when we face those times? And how many times have you done that or heard of others that have done that and seen the positive response and blessings by God? That is an example of living faith, walking in faith. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Any great miracle here? It says he was taken, he was moved. We don't have the details of exactly what God did here. It might have been something miraculous, like when he took Elijah up in the whirlwind. We don't know, but he was moved, probably to protect him from violence or premature death because of the condition of the world at that time. We are moved and circumstances change. Jobs are unexpectedly lost and gained. We are driven to move to different areas, and many times we have no idea why. All we know is that there may have been a job offer that was hard to resist, or things were just going to fall in place and work out well for us if we followed up on that. Or things became difficult so that we had to look for another home or place to go. When you do that, of course, we make sure we are praying about it, even fasting if we feel the need to draw closer to God and seeking His will. Sometimes we don't even realize God's hand at work in those situations when it first begins, but usually it's quite evident as we work our way through it. And we do this in faith, trusting that God will guide our steps. Let's take note of the last part of this verse. It says, he pleased God. And that is what we need to do and make a part of our lives day after day. This has a lot to do with what living by faith is all about. And the thought continues in the very next verse. Verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we do believe in God, don't we? But we are quick to realize there is more to it than that. There are millions upon millions that believe there is a God. And we also note a statement made in James chapter 2 that even the demons believe and tremble. But that is followed by the statement of faith that we believe he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we get from that the need to diligently seek him. This also is an act of faith, to have a desire to please God, to diligently seek his will in our lives as we study his word and spend time in prayer. This is what we are after. Then we can have confidence, firmly founded confidence and faith that God is guiding our steps and involved in our lives. Now, if I don't tithe, then I don't please God. That's stating the obvious, but sometimes those are the things we have to give thought to. If I don't keep the Sabbath, then I don't please God. Again, do we believe that God exists? Yes, and even that is by faith. We haven't seen him. We haven't heard him or touched him, but we believe. Now, the second part of Hebrews verse 11, verse 1 says, the evidence of things not seen. God is invisible to us. But his blessings, protection, and the ways in which he provides for us should speak to us. That is the evidence. That is what we look at and bear in mind. In this world, the focus is on the physical senses. People want to and do rely on and trust in what they can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. People, especially in the religious realm, love to have their emotions stirred up, and that's what they rely on and think of as evidence, the evidence they need for faith. Now, they are deceived, misled. They don't understand. Hopefully, we have no trouble seeing the difference. There is evidence every day if we are willing to see it and acknowledge it. There is a God. He is involved in our lives, and in faith, we are to strive to please him, trust him, and rely on him. Let's go to verse 7, Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It says, by faith, he prepared an ark. Again, nothing miraculous about that. It was work, a lot of work, guided and instructed by God in what to do. But the point is that Noah wanted to please God, lived his life that way before and leading up to this point. And God was pleased to the point of giving him that warning and sparing his life and that of his immediate family. You know, we prepare for the Sabbath. Is it by faith? We prepare to be here at services, even to pray. We plan and prepare for the feast. And you could say that is all done by faith. This is the active side, the living faith. We know and believe. But as a result of our belief, we live and we do. Let's go to verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, for many of us, looking back on our lives, you realize that in your youth, you would never have imagined yourself being where you are now, or having gone through the experiences that you have gone through, or the places you've traveled to or moved to. You know, we seldom know where life is going to take us and how things will turn out. You know, we can sit and wonder and plan and try to predict, but it means nothing if we are not living a life that is pleasing to God, if we are not living by faith and trusting in God to guide our steps. Verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Again, this is the primary focus, the ultimate objective. This life is temporary. We are constantly told that and reminded of it. Even during the feast that we just observed, that's the idea behind the temporary dwellings. Life is temporary. In faith, we can say that. The whole world knows it to a point, only because we see people dying every single day. And so they realize that, at least on that level, on an intellectual level, that life is temporary. But in faith, we know what lies beyond this life. That is a knowledge and promise so precious and extraordinary, given to those that please God, that have been called by God. We have a vision of that coming kingdom, and faith in that moves us with godly fear. Or it should. I hope it does. Let's go to verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, this was a miracle. Not just that she did this beyond the age that is common. I heard that comparatively speaking, because of the lifespan of people of that time, that this is the equivalent of a woman of the age of maybe 40 or 50 today. So certainly out of the ordinary, but even more than that is the fact that she had been barren her whole life up to this point. And in one of the conversations that God had with Abraham concerning the birth of his son, God asked him, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" You know, things like that are important for us to remember in times of trial. In faith, we have to remember to not limit God. If there is a problem, anything you need help with, anything you truly need, go to him in faith. We don't always get the answers we hope for, but we continue and then move on. And we'll get to that and how to deal with that as we get towards the end of the chapter, a little later in the message. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man, still speaking of Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And what an amazing story that is. And we know that part of that promise was that kings would come from him, and many nations. We today, here in the United States, are the recipients of that and benefiting from the promise given to this one man. We recognize that and appreciate it. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, if we do not live to see the return of Christ, then that will be important for us to follow this example as well, that we die in faith. It takes faith to accept God's will when the answer is no, you are not going to be healed at this time. In fact, I think that requires more faith than when the answer is yes. Because then we are truly leaning towards God's will, truly yielding ourselves to the will of God when it goes against our natural desire and inclination. And looking beyond this life to his kingdom and eternal life. And trusting that those we leave behind will be okay, or that things will work out in spite of not being healed or having to deal with certain trials or afflictions for months or years, as the case may be. Verse 14 says, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." You know, we have been called out of this world. We were born in it, raised in it. We haven't forgotten anything about this world and the customs and practices of the society we live in. You know, we have friends and family that we spend time with and enjoy being around, but we have been called out of it and are ambassadors of another country. We have a citizenship that is not recognized by this world or the governments of this world. And he has prepared a city for them and for us. Again, we can't see it or hear the sounds from it, at least not yet, or touch it, but in faith we know it lies ahead. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And indeed, we too are tested often. Is that by faith that we endure, that we accept that and work our way through it and try to do so in a righteous way? Absolutely. Abraham knew God, and he knew this was from God. We know from the Word of God that God is involved with us, wants us to grow and overcome and serve and have love for others, to show mercy, all of those things that we talk about as a part of the Christian life. It is through having our faith exercised through tests and trials that we grow. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And we bless our children as well, do we not? They go out into the world and we pray for them. God be with you and protect you. How about when we ask a blessing on our meals? Is that in faith? Of course. We bless and ask blessings when we pray, when we sing, when we fellowship with the brethren. We bless, and that is all by faith. So is faith restricted to the parting of the Red Sea and all of the other great miracles we read about and experience? Or is it how we live and walk and go throughout our day, living to please God and spending time in communication with God? That is faith. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Have we given instructions to our children concerning our possessions when we die? Have you put together a will? Is that not the same as what Joseph did here? And is that by faith? We probably don't think of it as such, but that's what this verse is telling us, because everything that undergirds my life is based on the belief that there is a God and that God is concerned about every aspect of our lives. And it is a godly principle that we make plans and lay things out for our children. Proverbs says even for our children's children, when that's possible. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, members of the church have lost jobs, sometimes over the Sabbath or for going to the feast. I know a couple of people that were kicked out of their homes because their beliefs were contrary to the way they were raised, actually. Mrs. Sargent is one of those. But God provides. It's tragic and hard to deal with, and you feel helpless and don't know how this could possibly turn out for good at the time, but it always does. If we are striving to please God and live by faith, he sees us through, provides us with what we need. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he kept the Passover. This is something that I've made a point of mentioning every Passover service that I've conducted. That keeping the Passover is an act of faith. That just as they stayed in their homes and the blood over the doorposts kept them safe, we stay in the house of God, covered, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of that and then acting on it is by faith. It takes faith to believe that he lived a perfect life, that he died by crucifixion, as the scripture says. You know, we weren't there. We don't have anyone around as an eyewitness that could pass on the story. We can only know this and act on it according by faith. And this we do every year. It could become routine, but we don't let it. This is not like the holidays or observances in this world, casually observed and celebrated. This is different. It carries tremendous meaning. And every year we try to reach a deep level of understanding and appreciation of it. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. This was miraculous, truly, yes. And then they, by faith, walked through it. You know, sometimes just walking through this life, going to work, dealing with people, driving on the highways is like walking through the parted waters of the Red Sea. There is an inherent danger. We can see it around us. I don't think they were comfortable at all walking through this passage with the waters on either side of them or confident doing that. But we do it. We have to live and work and move about and deal with people day by day. That is by faith. Now, could you do it without faith? Sure. Just look outside, look all around you. People are coming and going and living life as they please. But what we recognize is that we have been called and given an understanding of what life is about, and also that we have an enemy. Because we have been called and have the Spirit of God, and there is an enemy who wants to destroy us. We understand those things. So, yes, you could go about life like everyone else, but that does not get us where we want to be in the end. We cannot take for granted being able to live and move and work and eat from day to day. By faith, we recognize the blessings from God and how he provides for us and our need for him in all that we do. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She was hospitable, let them into her home and kept them safe. A miracle? No. She heard about God and Israel and believed and acted on that belief. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You know, do we have to be in a lion's den or taken to the edge of a fiery furnace to show our faith? You know, these are single instances in the lives of men and women that lived it day by day, and the faith they had developed and built up over time was shown in these things that are written in this chapter. When the time came, that is when their faith enabled them to endure and to trust in God and get them through the trials they faced. Verse 34, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Hold your place here, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Paul writes, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast, Paul says, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do we take it patiently? Or do we fight and struggle, desperately look for a way out or some relief? Paul said, when he is physically weak, he is spiritually strong. If we are focused in our desires to please God and build up our relationship with him, this is the state that we can develop and reach in our lives, where we can say, show me, God, Father, that I am human, physical, temporary. But undergirding it all, let the foundation remain in place, firm, steadfast, that I can rest my faith on and have confidence in you and your promises. You know, we need that kind of mindset, because there are times when he is going to tell me no, or not now, or not yet, or not in this particular fashion. You know, I have anointed a number of people and sent anointed cloths to a number over the years since being ordained. There are a couple that stand out in my mind. I was going to relay two stories in particular, but as I was putting my notes together, I started typing up the story. And even as I was typing up my notes, though, I got pretty emotional about it and decided to take it out. Didn't think I could get through it during the sermon. The point I was going to make was that a couple of instances where you didn't know what to expect, the person was healed. Now, we always pray in faith and expect and ask God to heal the person, but we don't know what God's answer is going to be. In one instance, it was early in the feast, second or third day of the feast. This man was on his way to the emergency room. He was having his wife drive him to the emergency room at the hospital, but he insisted that he go down to the hall and be anointed first. And I was the one on duty that day. And long story short, he was healed right then and there, immediately. In fact, they didn't go to the hospital. He went into services and was there every day after that, enjoyed the rest of the feast. Doesn't always happen that way. There was one case where I thought for sure, I thought God would heal the person, and he didn't. And it wasn't very long afterward that the person died. But can we be strong and show our faith at those times and continue to put our lives in God's hands? Let's go back to Hebrews 11. And verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. Raised to life. Yes, that's a miracle. No question about it. Going on, it says, Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Tortured? The average person would not consider that an act of faith. It is more likely that we would ask, what did you do that was so wrong that you would be going through this? How important is it that we not be so quick to judge? We are careful as others go through various trials. But this is done, and they endured it by faith. Verse 36, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. A prisoner, a faithful person? Well, we've known a couple in this area, one still in prison. But then we also have examples in the Bible, Peter, John, Paul. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Is this the typical picture of faith for us? Is this what we think of if we call to mind people that are faithful? It isn't desirable. There is nothing pleasant here to think about. But what does God want? Now, living in this country, we are extremely blessed, prosperous, and free. And we don't expect to have to deal with circumstances like that. We have our trials, yes, but nothing like this. But a time is coming that we know, a time is coming when everything we see around us will be destroyed. The church will be taken to a place of safety, but not every member of the church. Not every member will be protected from it. But even that does not necessarily mean they lack faith. God will have something in mind for them. And for those that survive or are martyred but come up in the first resurrection, it will be their faith that gets them through it. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. God allowed them to experience these things many times because they had faith, and he knew they would be able to endure it. Verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So they are waiting for you and me to join the ranks of the faithful, that we will all be raised together and given eternal life at that same time. Faith is not just based our miraculous events in this life. It's how we live this life every day. The list in this chapter could be continued. We could keep it going. Even in some of the simple things. By faith, they sent cards to those who were sick. By faith, they set up chairs, sound systems. By faith, they took attendance. By faith, they prepared meals, helped those in need. By faith, they even swept the floors, took out the trash in meeting halls. By faith, they gathered together on the Sabbath, sang hymns, listened to messages, spent time in fellowship and prayer. By faith, they saved their second tithes, kept the Feast of Tabernacles. By faith, they endured their trials and day-to-day life and remained faithful until the end. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There was another story that Mr. Hampton included in his message that illustrated this point. I wanted to share that also. I am summarizing it here. Briefly, there is a story of a Scotsman that had a rowboat, and he used it to transport passengers across a lake. One of his passengers noticed and commented on the oars of this boat because the man had written in large letters on one of the oars the word faith, and on the other oar was written works. She asked about that, what it meant. And he said, I'll show you. Anyone that knows anything about rowboats knows what happened next. You lift one oar up, and if all you're going by is faith, you try to row with the other, and you just go in a circle. And then he did the opposite. Took that one out, put the other one down, works without faith, and again, he's not going anywhere. But both of them working together, he said. That is the way it is in the Christian life, faith and works together. That is how you make progress, spiritual growth, and blessings. You prove your faith by action. It is in how we live. Faith is not just talking religion, certainly not arguing religion. Faith is living it. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and verse 20. Romans 4, 20. It says, speaking of Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness, because he believed God and had this faith. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Imputed to us who believe. We are to follow the example of this man called the father of the faithful. Believe in God. Believe God's word and the promises of God. and that God cannot lie. And as it was spoken of concerning Sarah, believing that he is faithful, Jesus Christ asked a question. One time he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he? Let's turn to Revelation 14:12. This gives us a part of the answer to that question. Revelation 14, verse 12. And we'll wrap it up here. Just one statement. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know, he will find faith in those that are called of God and keep the law of God by faith. That is us, brethren. If it is weak or lacking, we can work on it. Seek God's help to build it up, to make it strong, to learn to trust in him more and more. As long as there are people of God who are anchored to God, there will be faith on the earth, at least in those that are a part of the church and are actively seeking to please God and do his work. Who recognize and understand that faith is not occasional or restricted to miracles, but is truly a way of life.